welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
I was burdened down with sin. No happiness was found within. I never knew the meaning of joy down in my soul. When at last I finally contentment filled my soul like I never felt. Heaven came down, there was glory all around when He saved my soul. I remember the day.
I remember the day
when the Lord saved me.
When the Lord saved me,
all of heaven came down.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
Glory filled my soul. For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me. Now a life of peacefulness deep within my heart abides. Since the day that Jesus took my sins away, and to heaven I will go to spend the endless ages while they ever roll, praising His name for the glorious day that He saved my soul. I remember the day.
I remember the day
when the Lord saved me.
When the Lord saved me.
All of heaven came down.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
Glory filled my soul. For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me. And I remember the day.
I remember the day.
All of heaven came down.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
Glory filled my soul. For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me.
Hello again. This is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Thankful to be able to come back this way once again, have what we consider a God-given opportunity that we might come this way and try to bring a message from the Word of God. We've been prayerfully considering the topics that we should be trying to address as we study along and prepare. We find ourselves considering some very basic Bible doctrines, and as we're going through these basic principles, there is a name or sometimes a kind of a phrase that's used to identify the basics to which that the church has identified as these are the things which we assuredly and firmly believe that the Bible teaches, and they are not meant to be a substitution, like a creed or something that is adhered to in place of the Bible, but rather as a brief explanation using scriptures, using the Bible, to point out what we believe that the Bible is teaching. Obviously, as you go through the Word of God, anyone who's spent much time in studying the Bible realizes that there are teachings throughout the Scriptures, examples given to help provide those teachings. And at times, you might be reading along and study and think, well, this is what the Bible is teaching based on this verse of Scripture, but then you continue to study and you continue to read and you see from other Scriptures more clearly what that first thing that you thought was being taught. You have, by continued study of the Scriptures, you have more clarification and you come to understand more specifically and more certainly what it is the Bible's teaching. Well, this phrase I'm talking about is called the Articles of Faith, and what those articles are intended for is just to say, here is what we see that the Bible is teaching. As you go through it and you study it and you consider it for yourself and consider it prayerfully, then you'll see that there are things, common basic doctrines that arise, that come forward, and these are basics, or as we said, are summed up, and we say these are articles of the faith. So as we address articles of faith, we find that there are a number of these points tying to specific articles, and as I name when I come on, as I'm an old-time missionary Baptist, and the missionary Baptist believes first off that the Bible is the sole doctrine, the sole book of faith and practice. But then, as a brief explanation or brief identification of basics of the doctrine, adopted or said that what seems to us to be the most clear definition of the faith is what's sometimes called the 18 articles of faith. And those 18 articles of faith, they go back in time to link in to basic declarations that have been made for the church, from the church. You read in history where that you can go all the way back to the Piedmont Mountains, even shortly after the last apostle died, which would have been John, the Apostle John, and then the faith spread into northern Italy, into the Piedmont areas, and historical records document going all the way back into that time to trace down what that the old-time Baptists link into and where they trace their origins from. So these articles of faith go way back. And the recent 18 articles of faith, I said recent, they were adopted on the early to middle 1800s, they are what that have most recently been the declaration that have been, or that brief explanation that's been adopted. So I said all that just to point out that we'll be moving into considering a number of these articles. There are 18 of them altogether, but we'll take time and spend on the various points in the articles as we feel like the Lord shall lead, and ask you to pray for us as we're trying to do that, that we would touch on the things, on those that truly the Lord would see that be the most helpful to everyone. I might direct you to the website that's associated with this work. The website has a link to articles of faith, and as sermons are put together and Bible studies will also be put together relating to these, you'll be able to go to the website and find these. You find the written material there already under articles of faith, and you can look for, in the future, as sermons are produced and Bible studies are developed, that they also be linked there. That website then is fisherofmenbaptistic.com. That's Fisher of Men, one Fisher of Men, Baptistic, it's like Baptist with the IC on the end, Baptistic.com. And any of the materials that you find there, and you feel free to use and share ever how you feel like would be the most beneficial, and as the Lord may lead. We do want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and after we pray, we'll try to take up the thought that's on our heart. If it's to where you can, and you'd like to join with us then, let us pray. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for your rich mercy that you extend towards us through thy Son, Christ Jesus. Knowing, Father, we come so short in so many ways. We are thankful, Lord, for your long-suffering and grace, and ask you again, forgive us and cleanse us, that indeed, because of your mercy and thy grace, that we know, Lord, that we could go further into the work and continue down the path. We ask for direction and guidance in that good work, and help us as being cleansed and forgiven, that we can indeed be vessels meet for your use in all good things. We pray, Father, again, that you'd remember the many prayer requests, the many needy circumstances about us. Pray for all who are afflicted, those who that are struggling through trials in this life. We pray for them all. Pray, Lord, mainly for the lost, knowing that the lost have the worst condition of all, knowing thee not, nor the free pardon of sin. Help us, Lord, that we would be ever faithful followers of Christ and follow more closely in the way that you'd have for us to be, that indeed we could be a neighbor to those who that are struggling and who are heavy-hearted, and that we might be a witness and a good example to those who are lost. And Lord, through it all, that you would gain the glory and honor out of it, and that men would truly benefit in being drawn close to thee. We pray, Father, again for the church as she tries to labor in these days of coldness and complacency. Help us, Lord, in serving Thee, that we might ever stand against the ways of the adversary. And then, Lord, that the things that we do would not be a yielding unto his influences, his devices, but rather, Lord, that we'd ever be standing and serving the one who you've set above all things, that in serving Christ we would indeed be successful in struggling in the struggle against the work of the wicked one. We pray again for those who you've separated to the ministry. Pray for deliverance from harm, deliverance from the ensnarements and the things that would distract and turn aside. Pray for our country. Pray, Lord, knowing that you see what's needed. Pray, God, that you would grant that leaders would be brought forward, who that the people of God would recognize and know how to support them as we ought. The Lord, that the things, the actions, the decisions that need to be made, not only on the local level but on the national level, would be that would be in accordance to that you see is truly good and right. Take us here and use according to that you see is good and useful. Bless this work, thankful for the blessings already upon it. Be careful to give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. As we try to prepare for this, we already pointed out that some of the things that we'll be trying to address and broadcast to come relates to what's called the Articles of Faith. The first article that we want to address is actually in the group of 18, is the second one, and it relates to the true God. And it is actually a declaration of what is believed about God. I'll read briefly the article and then take up some points relating to the first section of this article. As we believe that there is one and only one living and true God, an infinite, intelligent spirit whose name is Jehovah, the maker and supreme ruler of heaven and earth, inexpressibly glorious in holiness and worthy of all possible honor, confidence, and love. We'll stop here, this being the first section of this article. And what that we more particularly would like to give our attention to is that we do believe and find the Bible to teach that God has revealed His nature to us. And in revealing His nature, He's wanting all to understand Him, to have an understanding of Him. Because truly, there is so much that's in this world that tries to influence and cause doubt regarding God, tries to influence men and women against understanding the nature of God, tries to leave a false impression of God's nature. But God wouldn't have it to be that way. He would have us to understand who He is, understand His character, understand His nature. And so in His Word, He has revealed unto us that there are clearly, that He is clearly a certain way, and that He would have us to understand what that way is. And so in this first article, first part of it, and what we'd like to spend our time dealing with, is how that God is one and only one living and true God. That there are not a multiple deities. There is just God. He is one and only one. He's infinite. He's intelligent. His name alone is Jehovah, and He is the maker and supreme ruler of heaven and earth. Might read some scriptures to help us to consider these points. We'll begin out of Isaiah 45. In Isaiah 45, verse 5, we find the scriptures to tell us this as God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He says, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou? Or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, asked me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth, and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. One of the mistakes we may have made, this gives us a reading lesson out of Isaiah 45, read from verse 5 down through verse 12. Notice in these scriptures how that God is revealing and explaining that He is the Lord. That He is, and now this word Lord is a very particular word, because it signifies of God, as God reveals Himself, that He is not just a Lord, but that this is the same word that comes across as, or is translated as, Almighty. In other words, the absolute holder of authority. If you're looking up a pyramid and you realize how a pyramid tapers in, and at the top there is a single point right at the top, God is saying that He is that. He is the Almighty. Everything else is under Him. So when He says, I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. He is stating with absolute precision. He is making it certainly clear that in Him alone is lordship. He alone is God, the Almighty, the Absolute, all the authority that is truly counted as authority comes from Him. All power that absolutely is present is of Him. And this is described through the Scriptures. But in this, our point, then, in trying to clarify and help us to understand God's nature, that and what we're trying to dwell with in this place, is how that we truly believe that there is just one true God, whose name alone is Jehovah, the Maker and Supreme Ruler of heaven and earth. And this is what God is telling us here. This is not something out of this article that was contrived of men. We find that God has revealed that to us, that He is exactly that. And this is what these scriptures are pointing out. Notice that He says, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. We are told in other places that of the stars. Think it. When did you consider sometime looking up into the sky at night, and you see the stars as they are there on clear nights when you can really get a good sight of the stars in the sky? Think about how many that there are there. And then think about God, who made all of that. And notice this of His wisdom, when it says this over in the book of Psalms, and the 145th or 47th chapter, also called the 145th division. Speaking of God, He telleth the number of the stars, He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. And I think about how that in the business which I'm associated with, I work with many people, and remembering names, sometimes faces are easier for me to recall than names, but trying to hold a large number of names in your mind is a challenge. At least it is for mine. But think of the intelligence of God, how that we're told that when He looks out on the stars, He made every last one of the stars that's in heaven, and He has named them all. Now, when I was growing up out on the farm, one of the things we did, we had cattle, and one of the things we did was we'd name the different livestock. We'd name the cows, and all of our horses, they had names, and the dogs, they had names, and if you had other animals around that were close to you, you'd name them. And remembering the names was one of the things that you did as you were close to them. Well, God, as He made the stars, He named all of the stars, and He knows the name of every one of those stars in heaven. The Scripture tells us that in the infinite mind of God, every human being, God knows. Every one who's on the face of the earth, all, I believe it's about 6 billion now, the inhabitants of the earth, and God knows all of us. Not only that, but God knows the very hairs of our head. He knows so much about us that even the hairs upon our head, He knows the number, the count, He knows so much about everybody. He is everywhere at all times, infinite not only in His wisdom, and absolute in His presence, but His knowledge is without defect. He has a perfect understanding of this world. He has a perfect understanding of what He has created, and there is no lack in it. There is no lack in His knowledge. This is what God would have us to know about, how His nature, and have us to understand of His ability, that He is the absolute maker and creator, and He is not away from us somewhere or another, off on a journey, but He is absolutely present at all times. I think about over in the book of Romans, where God has let us understand this about Him. When we read out of Romans and in chapter 1, Scripture says this. In reading in Romans chapter 1, we'll just get a few verses. It says, "The wrath of God," this is verse 18, "the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." In the Word of God, we are told the things which that we are, but most people, when they look out on the world, unless they when they don't take time to set up excuses, or, you know, and I don't know who all may be listening to this broadcast, and so I'm trying to be cautious in how I select my words, but in most everyone's mind, in everyone's conscience, when you look out over the world, you know and understand that God absolutely has to be in existence, that there absolutely has to be someone who is the maker, who is the creator. From the Word of God, we're told that not just about everyone, but absolutely everyone has that sense about them that God is there. So much that when someone says that there is no God, that what they've had to do is they have had to take a look out on the world. They've had to then receive what that they are taking in through sight, through sound, through their senses, and then reject it. And because they have taken in what reveals to them that God is absolutely there and rejected it, it's only because that they made a conscious decision to reject that and conclude that there is no God. But the evidence told them other things. They just rejected what the evidence said. So when we think about God being infinite, God being present, God being true, the Scriptures are telling us that even nature itself, the Scripture confirms what that we already know, and that is, it confirms to us that this creation, this that's all about us, even the interactions among people, as sad as they can be at times, and at times interacting with other people can be an unpleasant thing in some circumstances. There can be unpleasant outcomes of interactions among people. That's what we're trying to say with that. But even in those instances, still the interactions among people allow us to see the wisdom of God, that there must be a maker, considering our own self, considering those about us, considering interactions. It all speaks to the absolute presence of the Godhead, or as this Scripture said, the invisible things of Him, that is of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, that's by us, being understood by us, even His eternal power and Godhead. The invisible things are clearly seen. And for invisible things to be clearly seen, there must be something about us, in our very, how God made us, that the relationship of our Creator unto us, His creation, the relationship must bring about that ability, so that the invisible things of God are clearly seen by us, that is, His creation. Going forward, we notice a verse of Scripture from over in the book of Hebrews. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, the Scriptures again lets us understand that God the Almighty, He is the Maker. When we read, speaking of Christ, this man, that is Christ, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. So we have the idea of the one who that is responsible for constructing a building has more honor than the building itself. So it is with Christ, as being fully God, hath more honor than Moses, who was part of what God made. For every house, verse 4 says of Hebrews chapter 3, for every house is builded by some men, but he that built all things, that's the three-letter word, A-L-L, he that built all things is God. God is the absolute maker, the absolute ruler of the whole world. And then the last verse that we will consider is out of Psalms 83, Psalm 83, verse 18, that men may know that thou, this is speaking to God, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Whose name alone is Jehovah. Now I want to think about that word Jehovah. That word Jehovah has a very specific meaning. The word Jehovah means the existing one. Or another way to put this is He is the permanent, self-existent one. To get this, to help us get a little more light on this word Jehovah, what that is the name of God, and God alone is Jehovah. And that's what this verse is saying. Whose name alone is Jehovah? You, no one else can claim the name Jehovah but He who is God. And He is absolutely Jehovah. When we think about Him being Jehovah and who no one else, which once again signifies to us there is no other God, it is just this one, because He alone is Jehovah. When we think about Him being the permanent, self-existent one, that speaks of His eternal nature and His self-existent nature, His permanent nature. This is what that Moses was told about when Moses came to God, as God had summoned him. Moses came to heeded to God's summoning, and he asked, that is, Moses asked, what do I tell the people when they say, who is it that sent you? And the Lord God answered Moses and said to him, I am that I am. You tell them that the I am hath sent you. That means He is the absolute, self-existent, permanent one. He is the I am. He is the always has been, the always will be, the self-existent, absolutely permanent one who is Jehovah. He is God. And this is the one that's being referred to out of this article. When you read, we believe that there is one and only one living and true God, an infinite, intelligent spirit, whose name is Jehovah, the Maker and Supreme Ruler of heaven and earth. And with that, we'll bring this message to a close, and we'll try to, good Lord willing, we'll try to take this topic back up again in the future and dealing with the true God. Again, this is Mike Bronner from Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church saying we appreciate you tuning in, requesting that you continue to pray for us as we'll try to pray for you. May God richly bless you and yours would be our prayer.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.